Well, Michigan in line for a race to the top school cash, but sad to say, for the second time, come up empty. What are the reasons for this? We find out now. Mr. Mike Flanagan, Michigan school superintendent, joins us. Mr. Flanagan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. How are you, sir, today?
Wonderful. We appreciate your time. Well, this is strike two with our great state of Michigan, Mr. Flanagan, as applies to this $400 million. There has been some finger-pointing going on. We appreciate you joining us here to simply tell us, Mr. Flanagan, what went wrong.
Well, you know, first of all, Steve, it's premature to do some finger-pointing because we just don't know until we get comments back, and they're not going to give us that for a couple of weeks. I know from the Department of Ed we improved in our points, but apparently so did other states. It is where it is for now. But this, I never counted on this, frankly. I'm a constitutional officer. I'm the only one who's going to be here after January 1. Everyone else leaves town. And I've got a three-year plan, and it's based primarily on the work we did for the application. It's called Accelerate Michigan, and we plan to do that with or without the money. It sure would be a shot in the arm if we could get the money to build assessment systems and some of those things. But one way or the other, we're going to proceed.
One thing that folks have been looking at here, Mr. Flanagan, get your comments on this, is in the state of Michigan, how teachers are evaluated and those evaluations based on test scores. Apparently, Tennessee and Delaware, which are now in the running for the race to top money, they have stricter standards than we do here in the state of Michigan as it relates to the teachers and how they're doing with the overall test scores. Your comments on that?
Well, I think both of those, and they did get money in the first round. They were the only two. The spirit behind this, which I think is being misunderstood today in the paper a bit, is on a teacher's side, there's been fear created that somehow this means they're going to get fired. And on maybe the other side of the ball, it's, yeah, we should be firing teachers. When here's really what this is all about. We've got over 100,000 teachers. Most of them are just excellent. But every one of us has some weak points. So let's say you're an elementary teacher and you're really making progress with kids in reading year in and year out. The test scores show, the growth test scores show that a kid comes in with limited vocabulary, they have more vocabulary and ability to read when they leave. But maybe you're not doing that in math. And the test scores would show that. What you need to do is you need to get help in that area that you're weak in. This is no different than sports figures and others. They find out through data where their weak points are, and they deal with it. And then what has to happen is the district needs to be responsible for saying that you have to get professional development in that area. Not just anything you want to do. You have to get the development in that area where you're weak. And 95%, 99% probably of teachers are going to improve once they know where their weak parts are. And we don't know in the system right now. And a lot of times you can get help from the teacher next door who may be having great success with kids in math. So this is something that's really not going to, it's very revolutionary in one sense. And Delaware and Tennessee, as you said, have it in place. We're going to get it in place. We need to get it in place. It would have been nice if we were able to get it through some kind of law. But I think a lot of that was misunderstood. And as I said, it's mainly a way to try to help teachers understand where their weak points are, do something about it, and then get this state out of the doldrums. We're not going to get out of this economic problem if we don't get our 1.5 million kids to much higher levels of standards.
Now, Mr. Flanagan, the story you allude to in this morning's Detroit News states that Michigan requires only a significant portion of teacher job reviews be linked to student data, leaving open to interpretation how much of teachers' final ratings would be based on test scores. The two states we discussed, Delaware and Tennessee, you say they have already cashed in via the first round here of Race to the Top cash. They require at least 50% of teachers' evaluations be based on their students' performance. Do you think, as superintendent of the schools in Michigan, that this is a significant storyline as to why perhaps our state was snubbed for a second time?
I would echo your words, Steve, perhaps, but I'm a little cautious because I don't want to finger point at this point. But I do, some of the papers reported this morning, so I'll just reinforce it, that right. The first time around when we lost, I had kind of imposed that it had to be between 40 and 60%. And that's why we didn't have some of the buy-in that we needed and also to get other points in there from the teachers' unions and others. So this time we said, you know what, let local districts decide that. And there's still room for them to decide that the evaluations need to have at least 50% or so based on student growth. I mean, a smart system is going to say that. And it doesn't, it's not a raw test score. One of the things I hear when I travel around the state, I visit a different district every month. I was in Beaver Island 1 month and Detroit the next month. And what people are afraid of, and legitimately, is if you used one test score on one day, and let's say you're in a poor rural district or a poor city district, and these kids just haven't been exposed to books and to reading, they're afraid, am I going to be held responsible for that? And the answer is no. Now, are you responsible that you have to make some growth between the day they come in and, you know, a year later when they leave? The answer is yes.
Right.
We should be responsible for that, including me. So we have to develop assessments that show student growth, and we really don't have those at this point, and that's why we were hoping to get Race to the Top money. We are going to build those systems one way or the other, but it's going to take us a little more time now.
Now, Mr. Flanagan, you mentioned a word, unions. Some are using them as a scapegoat.
I'd be careful. I mean, I think, you know, on the one hand, I wish they had, on the first round, accepted my view that it was 40 to 60% was not a threat and that it was based on student growth. But I think there was a lot of misunderstanding. That was a rushed application. And we have to remember this. We basically are a local-controlled state. And I'll still be pitching local boards and local union leaders, and it's one reason I am reluctant to try to point fingers right now, because it's my job. I'm going to do this for at least 3 years, maybe 5 years, to persuade them, if we can't get it through law, that it's in everyone's interest to understand this has to be a part of their evaluation. We want to know where our weak points are. We don't want to be unfairly fired, but if you know where your weak points are, you can do something about it, and that's all this is.
Now, as far as the Race to the Top school cash goes, where do we go from here, Mr. Flanagan? Is it two strikes and you're out, or is there a scenario where Michigan could still receive some federal aid here?
You know, frankly, Steve, and feel free to call me Mike, by the way, but I think we have to wait for the feedback, but it doesn't look good. I mean, if there's 19 or whatever it was that were chosen to be finalists, and let's say they pick 10 to get funded, I doubt there'll even be any money left. You know, I would have never thought a year ago that I'd say $4 billion isn't much money. But, you know, certainly when you see $80 billion to AIG and all that kind of stuff, this is a drop in the bucket in one sense. And I think, unfortunately, with California and New York in there as finalists, you know, they've got much bigger populations. We had a $4 million grant, $400 million grant in our application. I'm assuming theirs is maybe of the magnitude of $800 million or so. So I'm just not, unfortunately, I don't think there's going to be money left when this is done.
All right. Mike, if you will, I'd be remiss in not asking you this question, as you are the school superintendent here in the state of Michigan. You say you've been to Detroit not all that long ago. You know what's going on here with the Detroit City Council weighing their options as to who the Detroit Public Schools would fall under, mayoral control or a combination of the mayor's office along with the Detroit School Board, with the City Council. Have you given this any thought? And if so, how would you like to see this come about? And to take it a step further, how rare is it in your long, long resume of education to have a school system under the mayor's office?
Well, a few city schools in the country have that. It's rare. I don't know that it's ever happened in Michigan. But I'm really at the point, Steve, where whether it's Bob or Bing or the board or some other kind of bee here, to me, we've got to move this state. And there's pros and cons to both. I'm going to push in my role and with my authority as state superintendent. For instance, if they don't get, whether it's Bob, Bing, or a board, if they don't get their deficit under control, I will hold their state aid, and I have unilateral authority to do that. And we worked with them all day last Friday to try to continue to make progress there. But I've got to exercise the role that I have, no matter who's governing that place, and we're going to do that on both the financial side, where we'll hold their feet to the fire, or we'll hold their state aid. And also on the academic side, these reforms that were put in place because of Race to the Top are fantastic. It gives me an opportunity to appoint a reform officer. We're going to do that even though we didn't have the grant, because it's in the law now. That reform officer a year from now is going to take schools that are underperforming and put them in a statewide district. So Detroit, with less than 5% of our kids, by the way, it's another reason I just can't obsess about Detroit anymore. 95% of our kids are not in Detroit. But whether it's Detroit or whether it's Battle Creek or whether it's Ishpeming, if they have an underperforming school and it isn't making progress, we will be in a point where we'll put them in a state district, they will lose their kids, and they will lose the money associated with those kids a year from now.
All right, fair enough. Mike Flanagan, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.